All right. Good morning. Let me take this opportunity to welcome colleagues. And I know that we are very much now in the thick of things, having returned from recess and having also met last week. We are meeting with Danelle this morning, as there were outstanding matters from our last meeting, particularly on investigation. So Honorable van Meenen will be leading us on that, and I do note that a presentation was sent. So maybe we'll start off and give Danelle an opportunity to present, and then Honorable van Meenen will be leading us, and when she's done, members will then come in to tie down on these matters. I take this opportunity then, colleagues, to welcome you. I welcome the Deputy Minister who's leading the delegation this morning. And the DG is here, and the chairperson of the board of Danelle is also present alongside all the members of the delegation who are here. So we will be in Danelle's hands as they start with the presentation. Colleagues, I just got one announcement to make. Upon return from leave, I found in my in-tray court papers served on the Speaker, the Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises, and the Chairperson of SCOPRA, insofar as Parliament is concerned, and then other respondents as well, on a matter which is brought to the Constitutional Court by NUMSA, amongst others wanting the court to direct us to handle South African Express and Danelle-related matters in a particular way. So that documentation, I have gone through it. I have had a meeting with Parliament Legal just to check what issues are, and the papers will be circulated to members, I'm sure, by the end of today, and we will have an opportunity to be briefed by Parliament Legal Services as a matter of urgency. So there may be a need for a special meeting in order for us as a committee to, of course, having gone through the papers and then to make our responses, which I imagine from what I've been briefed will be there are also consulting Public Enterprises Portfolio Committee and the Speaker and or the Office of the Speaker on the matters that have been cited. So I just wanted to flag your attention to that, that it is around matters of winding up SA Express, and there's Danelle-related matters in that. So we are expected to deal with that issue. Which is a matter brought to the Constitutional Court by NUMSA, and from the parliamentary perspective, we are part of the cited parties. We are respondent number 3 on that matter. So that documentation and paperwork will reach all members by the end of today, and we will probably have to have a special meeting, which we will agree upon on the side of the committee when, and get Parliament Legal to come in to take us through all those matters. So I think we will have to pay a particular attention now to all Danelle related matters anew, and of course on SA Express. So on with just that announcement as a background to assist us go through this Danelle work, I will now take this opportunity, colleagues, and request that I hand over to the Deputy Minister for any initial remarks that he may want to make, and then ask Danelle to make their presentation, particularly covering the salient points, the necessary aspects of the report. And then Honorable van Meenen, as soon as they are done, we will then be in your hands, and then we will take it from there. So to everyone, good morning and welcome. Deputy Minister, over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Pardon me for where I am. My network is not very stable. I don't have much, Chair, to say at the moment. Perhaps I would defer any comments to be made at this stage, particularly also pertinent to the matter you've just raised as you are concluding. If the chair of the board has any remarks to make, I'd really defer to that with your permission, Chair.
No, that's fine, Deputy Minister. Ngifuna ukufakazela nje ukuthi ukhona ngingakukhulumeli njengehlozi. All right, Madam Chair, over to you.
No, thank you very much, Chairman. Namdikona. So let me just say thank you very much for inviting us today. We've got the board members here, Chairman of the Audit Committee, and also T.D. Mukhabudi, Mr. Magazi, and we also have the executives under William Sakwane. Let me just end there, Chairman, and say thank you very much for inviting us.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can we get the presentation then given to us or presented, and then we will proceed in that particular fashion.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, honorable members. There's two chairs, the chairperson of the board and the chairperson of the committee, for giving me the opportunity to present to you. I'll go straight, Chair, to the salient points. I know that our presentation is very elaborative. Two questions that we needed to answer. One was where we are with regards to the turnaround strategy and also with regards to the developments thereof. And following that will be the paper on investigations. So, Chair, I won't spend too much time on the slides because some of these are known to the to the members as we have presented them in numerous occasions. However, the most important thing with regards to this particular slide, Chair, is that we need to accept that the according to the defense review, Denel is still a national security asset with the primary purpose of designing, developing, and manufacturing support defense material. We still, you know, the custodian of this IP, and of course, yes, we support and manufacture on those capabilities that we have. I think that is key to understand, Chair. And there are other socio-economic impacts on why Denel needs to exist. Its strategic relevance, Chair, with regards to technologies and R&D, is set to ensure that the research skills development within South Africa and also serve the national objectives of the SANDF. I won't delve too much into the master plan as it has been presented before, Chair. However, the mandate really on the development side is really on job creation and the youth and disabled persons development, and also the transformation in the country. I think those are key, Chair. The public interest in terms of the value that we derive out of Denel is that, as you know, that we compete globally. We are very strategic to South Africa in that we do support, you know, the SANDF. And as I mentioned earlier, that we create employment and skills development. And of course, yes, on the national security and also we are economically viable to sustain, you know, the economy within South Africa. So we are still the conduit to that economic development in the country. So having said that, the current state at Denel is not really a very good picture. As you can see that year to date, we are running below budget at around 360 million deficit on our budget, and for various reasons that are known to the members and to the public as well, in that we were unable to trade efficiently over a period of time since last year, I think, when COVID started, I think. So we have been battling to really come out of the situation that we are in, and the trend is still continuing. as you can see. So, and we also cognizance of the fact that, you know, our revenue, a budget for this particular year, 3.7 billion, it is at risk due to the current liquidity situation that we have shared. The current state is that technically, it may seem that we are technically insolvent, Chair. Our available cash is unable to meet operational requirements to run the business. We owe to date 636. I think the last time when we reported, we were just sitting below 500 million in terms of the salaries that we owed. That would have included the pension funds and medical aid. Today, that figure is going up at 636 million. With about 900 million that we owe to the suppliers. It's just at a high level, Chair. And also, you know, the current projections, as you see it, as I've alluded to in the previous slide, that we are indicating a financial loss around 600 million cash deficit in the at the end of the financial year. So currently, Chair, with regards to our financial liquidity, we are still facing issues with regards to the tax clearance. As I said yesterday, we have received a letter from the SARS indicating that they will waiver or give us the tax clearances on condition that we do pay the PSGN and the VAT at the end of this month, which is the end of August. That which we are dealing with, and we had a meeting earlier on to deal with that aspect. If you look at the ratings, share. Not really a very good picture in terms of the rating that we're sitting at CC and C respectively on both the long-term and the short-term rating, Chair. We have been impacted negatively as a result that the customers, both the local and international, they are concerned about our liquidity situation. And therefore, the performance bonds that we have we hold with the banks are at risk, and those are valued at 1.4 billion. Chair. With regards to the legal matters, you know that somewhere in March, April, we have a liquidation order that SAP institution. We are working with SAP on that matter to resolve some of the issues relating to the claim itself and quantifying it, so that we can reach that amicable sort of a solution between ourselves and SAP. So that matter is still continuing, Chair. We are hoping that we'll be able to act on it and resolve it the soonest. The other issue that we are facing, Chair, at this stage is that due to this non-payment of salaries, we have seen an exodus of employees that are resigning. Some of them that are in the business are taking us to court. Even those that have left the company, they are taking to court, us to court, in a personal basis, Chair. There's few of those cases that we have seen where in those letters of demand to pay those salaries and statutory obligations. So the risk that we are having is that some of the suppliers that have not actioned or taken any action against us, the majority of them, we are of aware that, you know, they might take the legal route should we not stabilize the net. With regards to the human resources, which is the human capital, Chair, you know that as at the 1st of April, we had about 2,600 employees. Today, we are sitting at 2,500 as at the 30th of June 2021. We had about 28 entrants. We also had, my apologies, three transfers and numerous exits within the business. As you can see, those entrants are more in the financial aspects and administrative. What is more concerning, Chair, is that the exit, the most exit that we have experienced are mainly in the technical. We have 25 artisans, 23 technical. People, 23 about engineers. So if you look at the figure, we are talking about more than 71 people that have left within the technical space since the beginning of April to date. And also we are looking at apprentices that have left the system. So it's really a precarious position that we find ourselves in, Chair, that the sooner we stabilize the company, the better is it going to be for the business to still continue to trade and operate efficiently? If you look at the technical workforce that we had as at the end of March, which is the last financial year, we had about 1,709, and today we're sitting at 1,638. Mainly in production, as you can see, we have 1,100. And so those are technicians and engineers, 297, which is the total pool in the business. And also you've got some of the design and development technicians. So really the pool is very thin in the business as a result of our liquidity situation. Now, if we reflect back, Chair, on the current human capital, we are saying there are opportunities. I'm not going to read every word, Chair, that is in this. I think members for the slides. I'll just highlight the important one, that the opportunities that are there, Chair, is that we need to restructure and right-size the business in order for us to be able to meet our obligations. We are also looking at implementing the service, short services model as part of the strategy going forward, and also looking at the strategic sourcing. But if you look at the challenges, say, as I've said, our inability to pay salaries, the loss of capabilities, and also we have the issue of inability to fund the exit of these employees that wish to exit, some of them through the VSPs. We are unable to pay those exit packages because of our liquidity situation. So we are very in a very precarious position, Chair. However, we are saying for us to can be able to move forward, there are quick wins in terms of the ensuring that we have a flexible work plan. This is what we introduced in the new model, and have this agile leadership within the business that it seemed to have lacked over the period of time. So those are some of the highlights and low share that I would like to bring forth. With regards to the turnaround strategy, there has been a question with regards to the approved turnaround strategy. I think it was in 2019. And I wanted to demonstrate what is the difference. And I think I did that in the last meeting, wherein we demonstrated this particular picture to the members as to what was the rationale at the time and where are we moving. So really, in terms of the exit of this non-core, non-profit making business, we have not renounced from that. The only difference is that we are not concentrating too much on the SEPs. We are more concentrating in cleaning out the house share to repurpose the company in order to be sustainable. I think that's the main focus going forward, and also dealing with those issues of inefficiencies within the business. So the focus is retention of the core capabilities. We also want to drive the contract executions and remove those inefficiencies, shares I've alluded to, and improve the cost structure. So these are the main sort of drivers of this particular operating model. And of course, yes, we still want to remain a company that will serve the purpose for the SANDF. And also we want to leverage our innovation and technology development share, that we still feel that we have these capabilities. We might have lost it, and we have lost it mainly in the other businesses, which is the missile business, and the other operations we are still fairly good enough to go. So the benefits of this new model, is that it will assist us in terms of the economies of scope, meaning that we'll realize cost savings from the shared services or transfer of the core capabilities within the group. As you know, that currently all divisions are working in silos. They have their own executive structure that runs that particular business. And we are seeing, for the size of the business that we have, let's try and have this shared services model, wherein we can even share the capabilities, as you know, that we have lost some of the capability within the business. So that's the reason why we have this model, and also build the center of excellence within the group. We also want to employ the horizontal integration methodology, Chair. As you know, that in most of the business things that we do, we own the whole value chain. And big corporations going forward, as you know, they have outsourced some of the non-critical components of the business to the public, where in the focus on the main or core businesses. And we are saying let's deploy the model like that because it can help us to deal with the inefficiencies that we have within the business. So that's the strategic rationale that we have taken. And of course, yes, with regards to the market power, we are saying cost leadership, economies of scale, ability to negotiate lower prices. As you know, where we are, Chair, we are faced with a situation where even the suppliers are asking us to pay in advance for any parts or spares that we need, whereas before they will give us credits, and credits, you know, that will run to millions and millions of rand. And currently, we can't have that credit. So it's more or less that we are working on cash on delivery. So we are unable even to negotiate lower prices as a result. So we have lost that the ability. And of course, yes, the capital allocation that we see, the capital allocation that we create in the business, it should be fairly dispensed across the business. And this particular model will be able to assist us in achieving this. If you look at the operating model, Chair, we said nothing has changed with regards to the certain divisions. Some of the divisions will be merged. However, we are saying we want to look at the two divisions that is looking at engineering and maintenance and manufacturing. Some of these divisions will be reduced to becoming business units within manufacturing and maintenance. And of course, yes, in engineering, because we are consolidating all the engineering capabilities in the business into one group to look after all of these projects. So the strategic rationale behind this, as I said, is to deal with the cost issue and also to ensure that we resize the company and we focus on the core business. We are strengthening the core business in our MRO and manufacturing capabilities because this is what we do. So there's nothing really that we're leaving out. PNP will still be there, we'll still do PNP, but it'll be managed differently. The maintenance capabilities that we have in aeronautics will still remain, but it will be managed differently. The DVS and the DLS maintenance capabilities will be merged because those are sitting in the same operable line. The distinct one will be the test range, which is sitting somewhere in Cape Town, and we regard that as a service, just like we have the property portfolio. And of course, Chair, we are having these associated companies, Renal Dynamital, as you know, with Barrage Dynamics and Hensoldt, that we have taken a decision to exit these associated companies for us to be able to realize cash in absence of us having to receive any cash from National Treasury. So that can help us in the interim with regards to the cash flows. And of course, as I've alluded to in the previous turnaround strategy, that we had made a proposal to SC Space Tech, and purely because it's too expensive to manage, we are also looking at Mecham and also looking at ATCR, which is the gear issue. You will know that these decisions were made some time back. When I took over in March, we had a re-look at this and look at the strategic rationale in terms of exiting these non-performing business units. And we have since concluded those business cases for that, and we will be presenting some of these actions to the board to exit these entities. Property consolidation means that we are looking at the best use of the property. We are not selling the property as at this stage. We have not made that decision. We are still evaluating the strategy to say, what is it that we can do with regards to the property that we have? How can we best utilize the space that we have in order for us to can be able to realize value out of it? Be it that we lease some of this property to the private sector, to whoever who is interested, be it that we create some sort of a workshops, you know, that could be rented and so forth. I think once the process has been completed, we'll be able to make the decisions on that. So these are some of the actions, Chair, that we are taking as a business to ensure that we still remain sustainable. And of course, yes, we reduce our footprint in terms of the management of the subsidiaries, in cognizance of the fact that we are in a liquidity situation. And of course, yes, we look at the executive at this stage. We are very thin to manage even some of these subsidiaries as well. So we have taken everything into consideration in coming up with this particular model. But what you see at the bottom is that I spoke about the shared services in my previous slide to say we want to leverage on that. So we want to consolidate all your finance department, HR department, business development, and also supply chain. Consolidate them in such a way that they are centralized and we offer services across the two divisions based on the shared services model. So here the benefit it's a benefit in terms of the cost structure, it's a benefit in terms of the efficiency, and also we are looking at the governance to ensure that the governance it's sort of a displayed across the business uniformly so. And currently, we still have business units that are independent. And they have their own governance structure that they deal with, which creates the problems that we have currently in the business. And we are saying, let's do the process realignment of the business in such a way that we can achieve these efficiencies. And as you can see on the keynote, we are reducing some of the overheads and also the issue of IP that will come later. We want to make sure that it's properly managed from the central office, because each of the divisions, they manage their own IP. And of course, yes, they protect it in their own systems, if you like. However, we are saying let's centralize this IP in such a way that there's a concerted effort really looking at the IP protection and ensure that proper processes are followed in order to access this particular IP. And of course, yes, we want to commercialize it and also into the commercial sector as part of the strategy that the engineering division will be looking at. So those are the highlights here in terms of the operating model. As you can see, the addition is really more on the creating these two divisions. But in terms of the exit on what was approved in 2019, we're still continuing with that as initially approved. So the drivers of this is that we want to change in the changing market share and also evolve as a company into this high-performing culture. We want to restructure the balance sheet share, we want to reduce the overheads, retain the core capabilities. We also, like I said, optimize the property portfolio. We also want to access the new markets with the new technology, be it that we're going to do it through the JVs, the SPVs, and the SEP maybe later beyond 5 years, if needs be. We want to look at that. So these are some of the innovations that we are coming up with in order to ensure that DNL remains sustainable. And of course, yes, we want to leverage that IP in terms of the strategic capability and develop non-military businesses and technologies. We have been reliant and we recognize the fact that the SDA account has been scrapped, which set at the time to develop new technologies. And also, we are cognizant of the fact that there are no major acquisitions within the SNDF that will then put a dent on the future developments in the NEL. So we'll remain with only the MRO business within the SNDF. And we are saying we have these capabilities that we will explore commercially and let's try and use it to access the commercial markets. Strategy in one basis that we have a mandate, be a leader in technology. We want to achieve the market share of 15%, the GP margins about 31%, and also we want to maximize the profit. There are sectors that we are looking at in defense, SOE, aviation, automobile, and private sector, and these are the segments share in R&D, design and technical and value propositions that we want to deliver in certainty and quality and be competitive in terms of pricing. Currently, we are not competitive. We are highly cared, we pay a lot of interest on our debt, and also our overheads are very high, which prevents us from being competitive in the market. You will note that DNL doesn't have the captured market, so we compete with the best in the world, and we compete on price and compete on product as well. So this is key for us to be able to succeed in those markets. So that would be that in terms of the mandate. And if you look at the roadmap, we were saying between now and the next months, we need funding of around 305 to be able to remove the inefficiencies that we have. And of course, yes, there are processes to unbundle the current divisions that we have, and then we amalgamate them within 8 months, meaning that we're coming to two divisions and the business, those two divisions as operating divisions, and then discuss the other divisions that are there. But of course, yes, if you look at the 5-year roadmap, is that we want to go from a point where we stabilize the business, and then we develop the strategies, and also in that 5-year window to grow the business and reach that sustainability and profitability over the 5 years. So that is the chair with regards to the strategy. Now we come to the second part of the focus, which is the investigations that are currently ongoing. With regards to the chart, as you have seen, Chair, we had a letter of demand of around 720,000 dollars that was paid to the technical advisor on the VR laser. There was a question in terms of the what actions have been taken since the Zondo Commission or State Capture Commission. We have since suspended three executives as a result of that, SP, the BDO and DD Business Report. So the actions has been taken, they're under suspension, and the disciplinary process will be undertaken. Now, with regards to the ENNE7, also the disciplinary action has been taken to those affected employees, and then summons have been prepared, you know, for those employees that got involved in those malfeasance. With regards to the regiment capital, as per the Kubodori report, there are no recoveries that we recommended as the NEL received benefit as funds we raised. All persons are no longer employed by the NEL, so there was no recommendation in that regard. With regards to Hampa attorneys, the matter is still with the SIU. I have noted that in the last meeting that we had, we were looking at the waiver reminders to be able to access some of the documents that has since been done, and the matter is with the SIU for investigation. With regards to the telespace, we are finalizing the claim with SIU, and of course, yes, we have asked the state attorney to assist in this regard, and letters has been sent, I think, 2 weeks ago, Chair, and we are waiting for a response from the state attorneys to assist in this matter. I think it deals with the, I can't remember the term, but it will come to mind. Now, with regards to the theft of IP, I have opened up a criminal case. The matter is between the Hawks and SIU. They are dealing with it. So we are looking at IP in general, Chase, not a specific IP to a specific division. The case is open for the entire IP that has been stolen within the NEL. So as and when these issues are coming up, the matter will be investigated under the same criminal case that has been opened. So SIU is still investigating. With regards to the extension of loans, Chair, the report has been completed to the audit committee, and I think it was the last sitting of the audit committee. And then we still need to implement the recommendations thereof. So the issue regarding the LMT, ENS Africa, and the PwC support, we are constrained to Chair with regards to funding and implementing some of these recommendations that require funding from us. So with our liquidity situation, we are in a very, very, very precarious position to move as a priority at the moment is to pay salaries. But we are sure that, you know, in due course we'll be able to conclude these actions as being recommended by the investigators. So that will deal with the ENS issue on the DL, the fuel farm, and as well as the firebrake issue in Kempton Park campus. So with regards to the IP chair, specifically on Barrage Dynamics, we had one executive that has been suspended. The case is still ongoing. I believe that the other people that were involved in this particular case are being sought after by the Hawks and the SIU. So the matter is still with SIU as well, as we speak. So that will be my conclusion, Chair, with regards to the presentation. And as I said, the objectives of this presentation was to exit this non-core business, optimize the properties, retain core capabilities, and ensure that we do support DOD. We want to rationalize the costs and support the development of the local industry. As you know, that DINEL is right above the SARI group, which is all the South African defense industries. And the dependency is there. SARI employs around 12,000 employees, including the 2,600 that we have seen from DINEL. So the rest of the 10,000 or 9,000 odd, they are dependent on the DINEL's existence, Chair. And of course, yes, we want to reinvent the DINEL and change from the a government-funded type of company wherein we go to a point where we are self-sustainable and we are not too much reliant on the government funding going forward. So that will be my story, Chair. Thank you very much.
Right, colleagues, there's the story. It's not a good story to tell. All right, I will hold off for now. Honorable Van Meenen, we are in your hands.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to everybody today. I'm going to be looking at the investigations, but the one thing I want to find out before we start, I mean, we're hearing that DINEL is technically insolvent. So why is it still trading? I mean, if we look at the figures, if we look at the fact that SARS has not extended the tax clearance certificate, if we look at the application from Saab, the issue of the salaries, are there any parts of DINEL that are still financially viable that can be split off? Can we just work through that first before we proceed onto the investigations? Because I must say that I'm completely shocked by the financial situation. It is looking even more dire than it did before. And to continue trading at this particular point, I mean, it cannot do that. And in terms of law, it needs to be declared insolvent. So can we please have a response to that and to which divisions are technically financially viable before we move on to the investigations?
Through you, Chair, if I may, most of the divisions, Chair, they are financially viable. If you look at the DINEL Aeronautics, and if you look at my slides where I talk about strengthening the core business. So the core business is really manufacturing and maintenance. So DINEL Aeronautics is still financially viable. They do a lot of maintenance for SNDF. DINEL PNP is still financially viable. We do manufacture munitions, both medium caliber and small munitions. If you look at the OTR, even though OTR we do a testing of the products that would have been produced either by DINEL Dynamics in terms of the missile and the rest of the world, it is still financially viable. The departments that are, or divisions that are affected by the current situation in the main are DINEL Dynamics. DINEL Dynamics does a lot of developmental work, and most of their work is the work that takes years and years and years to realize a value out of them. And that's where, again, we have lost a whole lot of complement of engineers. So currently, we are sitting with that problem within DINEL Dynamics, wherein we are unable to execute some of the work purely because we have lost people. And our inability to be able to insource them back into the business because of our liquidity situation creates more issues in that regard. But if you look at DVS, which is a vehicle system, it is financially viable. It's one of the subsidiaries 100% owned by DINEL. This is what we want to merge with DLS. DLS dependency in Hoofestar, it is a problem that we need to unlock. We are still contracted in Hoofestar Chair to date. The contract is not yet cancelled. We are still dealing with the technical issues related to Hoofestar. our ability to then be able to unlock that and return to business will be able to put DLS in a very good form. So that is in a short say, the two divisions that I would say are not financially viable, and the rest are still in good standing to be able to be taken forward. And if you look at the strategy really set to ensure that we weigh in, we don't have viability, specifically with the engineering complement that we have, ordinarily that we would have had in Dynamics. Dynamics, are being taken care of within the engineering department to look at other businesses beyond beyond defense. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much. To the Chair, I just want to find out, in terms of the relationship with SARS and the non-extension of the tax clearance certificate, this does now ultimately result in being a criminal offence in terms of the Tax Administration Act. What are the state of negotiations with SARS, and why has SARS failed to act in this regard? And I'm also going to be asking this directly to SARS, incidentally.
Yes. Thank you very much, Honourable Member. The issue with SARS is almost resolved, as I've alluded to right in the beginning, that we have received the letter yesterday saying that they are willing to accede to giving us the tax clearances. However, the condition they put was that we need to pay the pay-as-you-earn and VAT by the end of this month. So as we speak, we've got a team that is working with SARS to see, you know, how much can be paid at the end of this month in order for us to be able to get that certificate. So we have reached that stage where there has been back and forth communication between myself and them, between the chairperson of the board and SARS, and also between SARS and myself. So they have since come back to us with that condition to say they are willing to accede to giving us a waiver up until we are able to pay that legacy debt. However, their condition is that we need to pay the piece as we invite by the end of this month, that which we are working on to see how we resolve it going forward. So that's
Chair,
where we are.
Thank you. Chair, can I please question my side that we have sight of this letter, because I mean this is public funds we're talking about, and also that we get information towards the end of the month, which will be Tuesday, as to whether or not that PAYE and VAT has in fact been paid.
Sure. No, that's fine. Systemic would then make a note of that, and we will add it to the schedule of things that you require from Denel. That's not a problem.
Okay, thanks very much. If we can move on to the investigation. You know, we have gone through this in months prior, so we really here are looking at getting updates on these investigations. Now, in terms of the Philippe Solomon matter, I see Bowman's as the investigator there. The disciplinary action against current employees has been completed. Summons are being prepared against the Denel former employees who are implicated in this transaction. Are these now Denel employees who are still in the country, or are these, as we've seen before, Denel employees who have left the employ of Denel and, in fact, are no longer in the country? What are the chances of that summons actually being served?
Thanks very much, Chair, for the question, Honourable Member. Through you, Chair, we are working closely with SIU. I think they're present in the meeting as well. They can probably elaborate more if needs be. I wouldn't want to go into the process, but they are working very hard, Chair, to ensure that those summonses are issued even outside of the country. I think they are working with those specific countries where these employees would have left. So that is the best of my knowledge, Chair, from SIU.
And the outcome of the disciplinary action against the current employees?
Well, we have sought, which through you again, Chair, we have sought the independent a chair to this particular incident, because it does involve those issues of criminal nature that we thought we don't have that capacity, and we have since reached out to the state attorney to assist with us. Like I said, you know, we have written two letters. One was more in the telespace, and one was to assist in chairing or assisting in getting a resource to assist us with the finalization of this matter. So we are working with the state attorney's office in this regard.
And what was the outcome of that disciplinary action? Because it means that these are current employees and it says that it is now completed.
Yes, it is not completed. It is recent, Chair. As the investigation is going, you will note that right at the bottom, I have indicated that we have added Hoofvester contract as part of the SIU scope that SIU is still dealing with. So it is part of this particular investigation, as you speak.
I think, Chair, after we've dealt with this, if SIU can also then just give us an update on what is going on. The VR Laser Group, what is the progress on the validity of those contracts? And also it says there are three executives who were suspended. What is the progress there? Are those executives suspended on with pay or without pay? And what is happening in that situation?
You, Chair, the executive are suspended with the pay to allow the investigations to can be able to proceed. We have taken cognizance of the Labor Relations Act as well as the employment contract into consideration, and hence they are suspended with full pay, Chair. So with regards to VR Laser, I'm sure the details are with SIU in terms of the process, but we, as I've said, you know, the court application has been lodged as we know that, you know, the contracts were invalid. So the process is ongoing with SIU on that.
Thanks. Okay, I think we're going to have to hear quite a lot from SIU on this, Chair. The issue of the chaired chassis. It says disciplinary action against the current employees are completed. What is the outcome of that thing?
Those employees have been exited on the system, Chair.
Okay, when you say exited on the system.
On the system, yes. Exited out of the net.
Okay, has there been any other ramification in that regard?
I'll have to find the details on that, but all I know is that they have been exited, and those ones that are outside of the system, we are gunning for them through the SIU as well.
Okay, I am going to ask that we actually get a more up-to-date report on this, Chair. You can decide on the time period, but it does seem that there have been developments since this report was submitted, and I think we're going to need to have that. Now, Kumper attorneys, something that particularly concerns me is the SIU report says that Kumper attorneys claim not to have any documentation. But the fact is there's a retention period where attorneys have to retain documentation. What is the, can you update us on what is happening in that particular space?
The current status is that I had given my rights as a CEO to access the information. And the last conversation with SIU is that they have made progress, and I'm sure SIU will report as to what progress they have made in this regard. But they were able, I believe, to access, you know, this documentation.
Okay, I'll ask SIU to fill us in on that. The telespace matter, it says that you and the SIU are finalising the claim. Nell and the SIU, it says.
Yes, correct. So we have seen, I think the matter at the moment, it had to do with the jurisdiction, and SIU will explain, I think, in detail what it meant. But we are finalizing that claim through the course. We have since asked, as I said, asked the state attorney to assist in this regard.
Okay. Now, the theft of the Nell IP, I mean, this is a very serious. So can you give us a more extensive report on what is happening with that particular investigation?
The criminal case has been opened. I opened the case, I think it was somewhere in April. As you know, that some of these matters, if there is no case open, they cannot be dealt with properly. So we had to open the case first, and then the case has been sent, I believe, to the Hawks. So the Hawks are working with SIU in terms of ensuring that all the investigations they have done on their side are properly concluded within the Hawks and the NPA. I'm sure they'll give details as well as to where they are with the process. But from my side, I am aware that they have made good progress even from the last meeting that we had, Chair, Monday.
I think, Chair, I mean, if we're going to get responses related to referring us to the SIU, could we possibly have the SIU responding on these questions? And then we can maybe have a more fruitful conversation on this.
Honourable Fanon, I think you will recall the last time when some of these matters were raised, Danelle indicated that they had not received SIU reports and. And so that's why they're back here today. So I'm not sure on this toing and froing in which we are getting now. It places us in a particular stiff. Okay, maybe what we can, let's do this. Let's finish off your questions on these investigations, and then you go to SIU, and then you can come back to Danelle. Just to not share, so that, yeah, because you see now we're playing like a ping pong kind of situation, which is on shaky ground. Okay, let's proceed in that fashion, and then we'll go to SIU when you're done with this, and then come back to Danelle. Yeah.
Okay. What concerns me, Chair, is, I mean, Danelle is in a very, very precarious situation. One is seeing a company that is trading in a situation where it's clearly insolvent. You're seeing illegal downloading of intellectual property, the theft of intellectual property, staff disappearing. I mean, most of these matters, it simply says staff have left the employee of employment of Danelle. A large amount of staff have subsequently popped up in other jurisdictions. And last time we had the situation where, in many ways, Danelle is abdicating any kind of agency and handing it all over to the SIU. Now we need, as SCOPA, to get proper reports on what's going on here. I mean, if I continue onto the other investigations, it will say, for example, on the extension of loans, report has been completed and presented to the audit committee, will be legally reviewed for implementation of the recommendations once finalized. It doesn't give us any information at all, which makes it very, very difficult for SCOPA to actually do oversight onto what is happening there. The outsourcing of a Danelle fuel farm. Report is being completed, currently under review. The next one as well with Fireblade. So there really is no information here. And when pressed, Danelle just refers everything to the SIU, which was the same problem as last time. Intellectual property arrangements with Bargy Dynamics, investigation finalized and consequent management process underway on affected employees. That doesn't tell us anything. What has been finalized? What was the consequences? What are the consequent management processes? And who are the affected employees? This really looks like Danelle is just trying to basically draw a cloak over what is going on. It's not giving us names. It's not giving us any kind of details. And given the appalling situation it finds itself in, I do find this rather disingenuous. So I really do need to take the direction in this, and I think we need to get the SIU to report on this, because it is clear that Danelle is not particularly either not understanding what's going on within their own company, or they're not prepared to actually have oversight exercised.
Through your chair, can I make a comment?
Yeah, you may proceed, CEO.
Yes, correct. So, Chair, under point 1, 2, and 3, I have alluded to the fact that due to our financial constraints, we are unable to implement some of these recommendations as purported by PwC and ENS Africa. And I have also alluded to the fact that on Barry's Dynamics, we have this employee that we have suspended. The case is continuing with this particular executive, which is still in the current employee of Danelle. I wasn't sure that I needed to give names in this regard. Those ones that I have left the system that were involved specifically with the IP relating to Paris, they are being sought after by SIU. So the investigation from SIU is not completed to know exactly how many people have been or will be charged, both from criminal perspective and so forth. So that investigation is still continuing with SIU. So not sure again, Chair, that we needed to give names of the specific people that have been sought after in the public platform. And I think we'll seek your guidance in this particular event.
Thank you, Chair.
I think the issue is fundamentally not the names, but it's the progress thereof. Put people at home on paid leave and suspension and so on. And it then comes to the point to say, who are these individuals, and is this elongated period of dealing with matters not carrying favor? That's the issue. And so, because most often than not, you find that when it comes to junior employees, consequence management moves with a particular speed. And when it comes to the higher echelons of departments and entities like yourselves, it moves at a snail's pace with a particular hope that we'll forget, which we won't. But for the purposes of tracking, we end up having to know who these individuals are. And so it's just fundamentally the interest of Danielle to move with the necessary speed. And then, of course, I mean, the names can be given to the committee, and you'll probably think we will want them, and we will keep them in committee for ourselves. But I think, unless I'm wrong, but I think that's the perspective you're coming from. You are fundamentally highlighting the fact that we are not moving at that pace. And then it begs the question, is that pace influenced by the persons implicated? You see, that's the difficulty we are in. It's the chicken and egg situation. So, Honorable, let me give it to you, and then you can make a recommendation. This is your section, and then we will move on that basis. But I think ultimately those names have to get you if you don't move with speed.
Thank you very much. My concern is that here we have a company that is clearly insolvent. It has enormous financial challenges. It has enormous issues with SARS, and I'm going to be following up with the issue of SARS because I do believe that this company is currently trading in insolvent circumstances, which triggers a whole lot of other issues. You have seen intellectual property essentially looted by probably employees who have left the company and popped up in other jurisdictions. You don't seem to have any consequence management that is actually happening. The excuse is given there isn't the financial ability to do so. It is, I'm afraid to say, a complete travesty of a company. And the fact that, you know, more and more taxpayers' money is going into this just simply makes it worse. And I fail to understand why Danelle is not moving at anything other than possibly a glacial pace to actually resolve these issues. So I really am going to request that, one, we have a proper report that does contain names where legally possible. Two, that we track very carefully what is happening with SARS, as we've already discussed, and the payment of the PAYE and the VAT towards the end of the month. And that, I mean, this is already the same. Janelle is already coming back because of the insufficient reporting previously. We're going to hear from SIU that these reports are actually drafted in such a way that one can see what is happening, what isn't happening, and what the timelines are, because at the moment it's literally just a one-liner, and that really isn't giving anyone any assistance at all. Yeah, I am.
I was hoping that Danelle would want to react to what I said and what you had said.
I wanted to respond to you, but it's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
I also have my hand up, Chairman.
Perhaps I give to the chairperson first, or Chair, should I go first and you would make a
comment? Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So, Chair, I must say that we, from where I'm sitting, we have made progress so far in terms of getting some of this investigation closed out. Yes, we have been hampered by our liquidity situation to make certain changes. However, we are doing our best under the current circumstances to be able to close some of these matters. And I think the important thing to note, Chair, is that some of these cases, they are criminal cases. and we don't have capacity to investigate criminal cases, and hence some of these things, as proclaimed, they are sitting with SIU. So we have a lot of dependency in terms of SIU concluding some of these matters. And that is the second part. The third part, Chair, with regards to the presentation itself, we are guided by our shareholder in terms of the content. We were advised otherwise to disclose names and disclose some of this information that has been requested, we'll have taken guidance through our shareholder in terms of how we should report on those matters. As you know, that some of these people that we're talking about are still under investigation, and really to disclose some of this information in the public domain becomes a legal matter that might, one way or the other, jeopardize some of these cases that we are investigating. So we have taken cognizance of all of this. However, I would like to assure the committee that we have done enough progress to ensure that we reached to finalization of all of these matters, as we have seen. Thank you. Through you, Chair.
No, but I think GC, Honourable Fanwena, was very specific. She said, as far as legally is possible for those names to get here. I think that there was a very explicit qualification of it, and I'm tempering that qualification of that she made with what I pointed out, that bear in mind that any inability on your part to move with the necessary speed, efficiency, and effectiveness insofar as this consequence management is concerned, we are well within our right to actually want those names. And so the jeopardy of the investigations will arise because you're not moving with the necessary pace. I think that has to be borne in mind, that ultimately there cannot be an elongated period of dealing with these matters. And the only, you know, defense is to say, well, they'll be in jeopardy. No, jeopardy is also a snail's pace, a laissez-faire consequence management approach. So, but I say all of that, anchoring it in what Ongo Van Wenen has said, to say where it's as far as legally as possible to do so. So I think that must be borne in mind here, that we are not going to accept a situation where Laband Baya feel, but they are still at home on the payroll and it's business as usual. It's not viable, it's not sustainable, and totally unacceptable, to say the very least. So I think with that, what I've just said, it must loom large over you to say that our patience is very, very thin, actually, particularly given your financial position. But I thought the chairperson's hand was up, and Honorable Van Minen will round up, and then Honorable Dex, Honorable Somyo, and Honorable Mente, you will come in.
Can I go ahead, Chairman?
Yes, ma'am, you may.
Okay, thank you. I thought maybe we can just confirm a few things. The last time we met, we hadn't met the SIU. After that, we have met the SIU and we have had the report from the SIU, and that's precisely the reason why we could do the things that we could do later, including the issue of pressing the criminal charges. That springs from us having dealt with the SIU. Last time we hadn't met them, now we have. We've had meetings with them. So that's point one. Two, the issue of the criminal charges, let me just say, I think Honorable Van Minen also thought there's some bit of being disingenuous on our side. I must confirm that no, we are just as anxious for the consequences to happen. However, we are sitting in a complicated space. The criminal charges in very difficult jurisdictions are going to take those processes into account, And we have to be guided properly by Hobbs and SIU. We are just as anxious, Chairman, that we conclude on these matters. But they are very sophisticated. The stealing of IP is a very complicated process. And so we have to be guided properly because we've got one chance of winning those cases and doing the right thing and not carry with us the unhappiness and the emotion that we are all supposed to have, because it has actually cost the company a whole lot of things. So I just want to confirm here, Chairman, that what looks like a slow process, we are also stuck with criminal processes in very complicated jurisdictions. That is reality. Just want to put another point, Chairman, that because of the nature of the business of Denel, the whole destruction of Denel has been a very sophisticated, systematic process. And we also have to be systematic and very sophisticated about how we undo it. And so you will forgive us, Chairman, if we look like we are not in a hurry. There isn't any reason on our side, whether the board or the management, to be hiding names and sitting on things and kind of like dragging our feet into this. But we have to follow properly. And then, of course, just to repeat the fact that some of these things do require us to have resources to follow. When you look at the extension of loans, that 300 million runs on LMT, we needed more than the committee. To do that, though, we need one chicken and egg kind of a situation. So I just want to say that we are just as anxious, Chairman, to actually conclude on these matters because it matters to us. Then the last point, I think the Honourable Member, the issue of the insolvency and all of that, we do have a liquidity problem. But having a liquidity problem, other things have to come behind the issue of insolvency. And one of those is we have good assets as Denel, to be honest. And in the end, once you were given the go-ahead to do 1, 2, 3 on those assets, that will relieve some cash out of them. But that is not sustainable. But at this point, the issue of insolvency, however challenges we've got, is something that we're managing quite closely, and we're staying very close to the shareholder as well. So I don't want the committee to think that maybe this board and the management just sitting on this thing. It's completely closely managed with all the challenges in the world. But the destruction itself is quite deep. And I just wanted to say that, Chairman, that you mustn't, your committee mustn't leave here thinking that we are not in a hurry to conclude on these matters. It is in our interest to do so. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Chair. Right, GC, I'm going to ask that you take the presentation down. Parliament Communication is asking that to the right. So as and when is necessary, you may put it back up. But Honourable Van Menen, you can round up, and then we will go to the other colleagues.
Thank you very much. I think I am pretty much finished. I look forward to hearing from the SIU. I have already made some comments, but I do think that this is a very, very unfortunate situation. And I think it's something that we at Scopum must monitor very carefully because, and I hear what the chair is saying and I hear what the CEO is saying, but I am concerned that we're seeing the mass looting of a company to the point of destruction and that it is now trading in clearly insolvent circumstances. And that this mess has to be essentially sorted out. And moving forward, we need to make the right decisions because right now I'm going to need a great deal of persuasion that Denel is not a company that should not be, you know, placed under liquidation immediately. Thank you.
Right. SIU, please flag the questions and the issues. Yes. And then we get a sense from the other colleagues, any issues they may have so that there's no overlap. And then you will respond holistically. And then Honourable Van Menen will come back at the end to round it all off. for us. Honorable Dirk, let me hand over to you, Baba.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just have a few questions, but I'll ask them one at a time. Firstly, on the question of the financial viability of Denel, can the Chair or the CEO please just take us through the relationship, the joint venture partnership between Rheinmetall and Denel? The joint venture is called RTM, Rheinmetall Denel Ammunition. If you can just please take us through that joint venture relationship, how is it actually structured, and also the financial viability of that joint venture partnership of the Denel. Thank you. That's the first question.
All right. I won't come in as I've just done with the other sessions so that we manage time.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dex, and through you, Chair. We have 49% shareholding in the joint venture, with 51% being held by RDM, which is Rheinmetall. So a very good relationship with a very good prospects of the business. However, we have since taken a business decision to exit or to dispose of our the shares in this business. Thank you, Chair.
Follow-up question on that. What was the reason for exposing the getting rid of your shares in the business?
Through you, Chair, it is because of our financial situation, Chair, such that we are trying to create liquidity. I think the Chair has alluded to, our Chairperson of the Board has alluded to the fact that we have various assets that we have in the business that are of great value. And some of it is one, this is RDM. That we thought to create our own liquidity in order to not to be in a position where we are trading recklessly. We have decided on exposing the shares to create that liquidity for business.
And when did you all expose of those shares?
Can I answer, William?
Yes, sir.
Honorable Dirk, it's not done yet. I wasn't sure whether you're asking or how we became 49%, or you're asking for the intention to dispose of now.
Let me clarify. Yeah. I say that the question is related to the financial viability of Denel. The Denel seems like it's insolvent. So I wanted to know the profitability of the relationship that Denel has with Rheinmetall, the German French company. So I want to hear about the profitability, but I cannot understand how Denel is insolvent when they had it, when they that relationship with Rheinmetall.
Okay, can I answer then, William?
Before you do, Chairperson,
yeah.
Parliament Communication is requesting that we turn on our cameras when on the platform speaking.
Okay. Okay. Is that okay, Chairman?
That's fine. You may proceed, ma'am.
Okay.
Now continue. Sorry about it.
I think Honorable Dirk, to the extent that we are only a shareholder now in RGM, our access to liquidity there is if they declare dividends to Denel. Otherwise, it just remains a valuable asset. For now, I think, William, correct me now, they haven't declared dividends for the last 3 years, right?
Correct, sir. They have not declared anything for the last 3 years, sir.
Yes, we haven't had the dividends from RTM, and that's the only access we have to liquidity from them. Otherwise, it just remains a good asset to have. Thank you.
Okay, because when I look at that joint venture partnership, RTM, and you look at over the years from 2010 to 2019, you look at the sales, arms sales that has been made, to one country, there's about 3.2 billion rand, to another one, there's 7.3 billion. And then to other countries, it's 42 billion. So it's about over 50 billion worth, billion rand worth of ammunition has been sold over the last 10 years. So I'm just surprised that there's no dividends that has been declared by this company.
When you have,
when you have made arms sales of over 50 billion rand, and there's no dividends declared to the 49% joint venture partner, I don't understand that.
Chair, if I may, in the last 10 years, and then I think the chair has said only in the last 3 years that we have not received the dividends. But if you look at prior years, we had received some dividends, but at a very low margins. And they were not consistent, I think, for 3 years in succession, 2017, 2016, 15, we had to receive some dividends with 2014 and 13, none. So again, we have to understand that some of these dividends, as they are exposed off to the shareholders, it is the decision that is taken by the board at that particular point in time, either to not to pay dividends, then to either grow the business. So there are strategic decisions that are taken behind closed doors by those board members of that particular entity. So for the last 3 years where we are sitting as the NEL, we have not received any. And it will probably be some reinvestment of funds into other projects within the business.
Yes. I would support that Danel terminate the relationship and get liquid from that joint venture, because this is a very problematic joint venture. There's a very lucrative that joint venture, but it's very problematic in the sense that it is actually fueling the killings and the war, the murder and the maiming of people in Yemen currently. We know that the German government have banned the sale to arms. They banned the sale of arms to countries that are involved in the Yemen war. So this Rheinmetall cannot sell arms directly from Germany to these countries that are involved in the conflict in Yemen. Therefore, there is strong suspicion that they are using South Africa, RTM in South Africa, to actually export these weapons. And it's confirmed in the report it was released in March that by Open Secrets, that South African arms are being used in Yemen to fuel the conflict in that country. So for that reason, I want us to that Danel should exit this relationship. And then I'm also surprised why our security agencies, the Hawks, and why there has been no investigation in this matter regarding this relationship with Rheinmetall. Why there's been no investigation all these years when there's so many reports out on their problematic relationship with Rheinmetall. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. All right. I think we're going to let's note that proposal, and it will, of course, will require particular due diligence, one which will have to be considered with what the PC is doing, but we'll note that as one of the proposals that are on the table. I think that further information will be required, and therefore request us to resist the temptation to engage on it at this point in time, and we can flag it for a discussion at another time. Right, Honorable Somyo. Babu Somyo.
Well, thank you very much, Honorable Chair and colleagues, the Chair of the Board, the Deputy Minister, and the CEO of Danel. The Danel story is one of the stories which are very tricky in the environment of technology, and mainly a technology that is centered on armaments, something which South Africa has preserved over time as one of the strategic elements of the defense capability of the country. And the current board of DENEL has been brought in within the very testing environment where liquidity has been the issue and other element of a strategic nature of the company have been somewhat tested. Last time, I took you through questions that relate to IP, the sale, illegal sale of such, and now we get to know about such investigations, something which I would welcome. But to the board, mainly the board chair, if you could assist me, are there any conditionalities which have brought you about as the current board to lead this company which is under test for its own liquidity? I'm asking this question knowing very well, looking into your current standing as business individuals, men and women of repute, and are charged with a responsibility to revitalize such an institution, which is a very onerous task itself, but to be thrown into the fire when such things happen. Are there any instances that you have insisted to the shareholder that I'm getting in or we're getting into this institution only if 1, 2, 3, 4 would happen? Is there any of such an instance? Thank you, Chair.
Should I go ahead, Chairman?
Yes, please. I'm trying to save time, so I won't come in unless it's absolutely necessary and members pose questions. So
you
can after each question, yeah.
Thank you very much, Chairman. Thank you, Honorable Somio. It is a strong question because generally, people with professional backgrounds coming from where they come from, the tendency is to fear being in a general space because it is in trouble. And so you have to weigh these two things all the time in terms of should I go ahead and fend for the country, or is it about my professional image and reputation and ways of balancing act? What we have done here, Honorable Somio, is that other than the normal issues of protection of the board reputationally, we have also, though, asked for strong support from the shareholder, as in DPE, the minister, and so on. Strong support in this case means that indulge us as we navigate all these things. They are very difficult. They are very complicated. We are exposing our own reputational image into this, but we're quite prepared to do that if the shareholder is the state, is behind everything that we are trying to do. Of course, provided it is not fraudulent, it is not criminal, it is whatever. At this point, Honorable Somio, I must say, I am comfortable to say that part of our comfort, at least, is to know that at this rate, it doesn't matter what time of the night, I have to phone the shareholder. He will pick up the phone. He will help us navigate through things. Already, we have gone through very difficult circumstances. Now, in the absence of that kind of support, psychological and everything, we wouldn't really be here. This board has been to court physically, face, for things that generally most of us have never been to a jail of any nature. But I think the DENEL is very complicated. And in the absence of the shareholder support, we wouldn't really be comfortable to be sitting here. We've just put on board a new director under these very circumstances to be the chairman of the audit committee, a highly, highly regarded person in the country. So many years of experience, over 30 years. She came on board because I, as the chairman, had to promise that we do have shareholder support. DPE is very much supportive. We may not agree on everything. We may not succeed in many things. But that was more or less a psychological condition, if I were to put it that way, that as long as the shareholder understands that this is their asset, we try to do our best to keep the remaining part of it and also claw back on all those things that are left, because denial is important. That is my understanding. As soon as the government, whether it's DOD or DPE or Treasury, say denial is important, psychologically, that was, for me, a support that I need. So there is no specific written condition other than protect us if we are doing the right thing. Get rid of us if we are doing the wrong things. But right now, we do enjoy a complete support from the shareholder. And I think I'm speaking for the rest of the board, because in the absence of that, as a board, you can just sleep. It's easy to do so, but it's a difficult thing to leave a company in this condition. We came into it knowing it is in this condition already. And the reason we came was because we think it can be taken out. And that's the only reason we're sitting here. And thank you very much, Honorable Somi, for asking that question, because we do have the support that I think we do need it, and we have it. Challenges are there, and we are going to navigate through all of them. And a part of the optimism on our side is based on the fact that we are not all by ourselves. We are with the shareholder in navigating through the problems. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
All right. Thank you very much, Honorable Somi. Honorable Menta.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And good morning to everyone. Chair, you know, I'm listening to the chair of the board. She's making an indication that they do have support of the shareholder. Now, we are in the, if I understood you correctly, Chair, on how you have framed or structured this particular meeting, is that we are on the section of investigations. Now, on investigations, I heard the operational side of Denel, and then I also heard the heavily reliance of Denel on law enforcement in terms of finding out who is at fault and who has caused Denel to be in this financial dire state. There are two things I'm not hearing, Chair, and which I would like both the Chair and the GC to give out and make clear for us. One, what are the sources of revenue making for Denel? How are they going to make business as Denel without relying on DPE for the whatever funding comes from government? And if there are sources of revenue or any projects that can generate revenue, can they be outlined clearly? What are they engaging on as Denel to generate revenue for themselves? And then we then look at what else is added from the state. Because as things stand now, with all the cases at court and everything, the only source of revenue that covers all those demands, financial demands, is based on the income from the state. If we then understand and comfortable on what is the route being taken by DENED in order to generate its own revenue, and what are the projects thereof that they are embarking on. Then number two, the heavy reliance on law enforcement is very problematic for me, Chair, in a sense that, one, once you go to the police station and open a criminal case against your subordinate, it is because you have established irregularities within the department, within the sector itself, and you know who did that. Hence, you went to the police to say 12345 is taking place under this particular component. But what is the department itself doing? When I'm saying department, I'm talking about DENED. What is the entity doing to rid itself of the characters who are causing a financial strain on DENED? You do have supporting documents. You do have your audit reports that are telling you where are the irregularities? Where are the fruitless and wasteful expenditures? Who is the cause of that? And this year, Chair, I think I have to just put it as a reminder. We need consequences. We don't want to hear that we are waiting for the police. The moment you go to the police, it's because you have identified an irregularity. You have identified a crime taking place. Then when they investigate from the side of the criminal activity, you as an entity, you embark on your internal disciplinary measures and dealing with people. And on top of that, have you recouped any money from anyone who has caused this financial strain in DENED? That's the two questions I have for now, Chair. Thank you.
Let's get responses to those two questions. And Honorable, please be on standby.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks to Honorable Mente. With regards to the revenue streams, like I have alluded to, we have 60% of the revenue coming from the local industry, which is SANDF in terms of support. There's a whole lot of projects, and Chair, we can make those that list available to you that we are involved in. That makes up the close to 11 billion of revenue in the next 3 years. But in the main, if I can just mention, Chair, and like I have said again, we have maintenance that we are doing for SANDF. So this will be in the aircraft maintenance, it will be in the armored vehicles maintenance. So this constitutes all this 60%. And of course, yes, there are other projects that are available that will make that list available to you as the members. However, globally, we do have this 40% and it's sitting across various countries as well that we cannot disclose in public as to where they're sitting, but we can make it available to you as well, Chair, in terms of the revenue streams. So this will make up the 11 billion that we have in our backlog for the next 3 years. Now, that is your first question. Now, coming to the second question, Chair, with regards to what is it that we are doing, I have alluded to the fact that the employees that have committed this malfeasance that are with still the company, we have suspended them. We have held disciplinary actions against them. So the actions has been taken to those employees that are within the employee of DENED. However, the ones that I have left, because they have left and because of the case that is still continuing, we have asked these assistants from SIU. And I think, Chair, with regards to SIU, as they are proclamated by law, to can be able to investigate some of these malfeasance, we have incorporated some of these cases within that proclamation of the losses that we will have incurred as a result of the state capture. It deals with the VR laser and the IP and so forth and so forth. So it becomes a criminal case, and as our chairperson of the board has alluded to, that the reliance on the law enforcement, it is because that they are vested to deal with such issues outside of our domain. But within our domain, wherein we were to take some actions, we have done so. And I have given that information up to say there are people that have been suspended, that those disciplinary actions has been taken. So with regards to recouping some of this money, and I'm sure, again, because this is a criminal offence that is sitting outside of our domain, SIU will be able to give the details in terms of how we're going to recoup this. But going back, Chair, with regards to the investigation, if you look at, for example, the issues that relate to the 43 schools, we have recouped this money and made a commitment with the interested parties, those were the 3 students, and we are recouping that money as per that payment agreement that we have with those parties. So we have made some strides with regards to recouping some of this money. However, these ones relating to the IP specifically, we will have to wait for that investigation to be concluded in such a way that a proper law can be followed to then be able to see if we can get this money back to the company. I'll leave it at that, Chair, on the 2 questions. Thanks.
All right. No, thank you very much. I think there's one thing which Ben, just flag this for me. I think when I need to consult on it, I underline something that the CEO says to say some of these issues are not for public consumption. I'm paraphrasing. And I raise it to the particular concern, of course, given the fact that SOEs are public goods, they are public entities. And so we ventured on a very slippery slope when we cherry pick what is and what isn't, if not anchored in law, taking cue from the very succinct manner in which Honorable Van Menen earlier on was pointing us to, that these things must be public as far as legally is possible. Because it places a particular sense of limitations to oversight and accountability. I think that the determination of that cannot be the sole prerogative of an entity. It must be incumbent on us to make that determination as well, insofar as what we may also deem, or at least make a contribution to what may be deemed to be not for public consumption or not, given the sensitivities that come with the business world in which some of these entities may operate. But it cannot be the sole prerogative of those who must account, because then they become the player and the referee. And I think that this is precisely consistent with the issue that was raised by the Deputy Minister of Police and the NDPP when they appeared before us, insofar as investigations are concerned and the divulging of information thereof. So I'd like to caution against responses along those lines, because ultimately these issues are very, very important if taxpayers' money is involved. It's not a blank check. So I just wanted to, I underlined that particular comment, it did not wholly sit well with me, but we will look at that. Right, Honorable Swart, sorry I skipped you in the queue, and Honorable Lisi will come in. Honorable Swart, over to you, ma'am.
And before Thank you, Chair. Good morning, Chair.
All right. Just one second, Honourable Swartz. Just one second. Honourable, you went down. My apologies. My apologies. All right. Honourable Swartz, Hang Chen, and then Honourable Mente will come in. Hang Chen.
No, just a quick one, Chair. How long have the suspended members of the NEL been suspended for? And with the cases that they have been suspended for, are they both in the SAPS and SIU, or they are only within the NEL, the investigation? So is the investigation that is holding back the finalization of those cases, depending on what SIU finds or what SAPS finds, or is it internal? Can I get an answer for that?
Thank you very much, Chair, through you. The Fed members have been suspended for more than 8 months, and really it deals with the internal issues of conducting these disciplinary actions. It's a very complicated process that deals with the IP. But there's two aspects of it. Internally, there's a disciplinary, yes, it's 8 months, but it doesn't tie up to the criminal case pertaining to this particular employees that is still being investigated by the SIU or the Hawks. But should they complete that investigation, obviously these charges will be added on top of it. So this is the particular one. The other ones are more on the issues relating to, as I said, to the NGIDI report, and it has been a month plus now that they have been suspended, those particular executives.
Chair, I'm going to suggest that we get a written response outlining what the GCE just explained now, because for me, it doesn't go well with the issue of internal investigations, because one, you have identified an irregularity which you have deemed as a transgression in terms of your rules and regulations within the entity. That's number one. And that on its own should be enough to dismiss a member or whichever person that is involved. But if then there is more information you require in order to make a solid case, can we then get a clear indication or as of to who is suspended for what and what investigations are being done internally by whom to establish what? Because at times these investigations get prolonged and then a board is gone and then the GCE is changed and then the people crop up somewhere else. We've been doing this with SAA. We've been doing this with SA Express. Where are they today? It's not going to happen with Danelle, not under our watch. Whoever has to account must account GCE. Let's get that information correctly. And please make an indication as to when do you think those kind of investigations will be completed so that you can complete the hearings within the entity. Thank you, Chair.
We will make that submission. It's invited.
All right, Honourable Swart.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, my name is that it's concerning that there are investigations done by PwC and ENS Africa, but no consequences have been implemented because of insufficient funds to pursue cases. This means that the money paid to PwC and ENS Africa is fruitless and wasteful. So how much has been paid to these companies for investigations? Thank you, Chair.
Through you, Chair, I don't have the details, Chair, at the moment as to how much has been paid to these companies. However, I wouldn't say that what has been done by those companies is fruitless and wasteful, in that our liquidity situation, as we see it, is temporary. And regardless of the time, we'll still implement this Section 6B, Chair. It is our prerogative to ensure that the these investigations are closed. And of course, yes, we do make necessary advancement in terms of reclaiming that money if needs be. So we will endeavor, as our chairperson has alluded to make sure that we close off all of this investigation, Chair. So as I say, the liquidity situation that hampers us to really fund some of these processes is temporary as we see it. Thank you, Chair.
Right, Honorable Swat, are you done?
I'm not satisfied with the response, Chair, because they'd already paid. So why were there no consequences implemented, vice versa them saying that the investigations, and irrespective of them not knowing much at stage, because the bottom line is that we paid for these investigations, and also no consequences were implemented by them, Chair.
Can I try, Chairman?
Madam Chair, you can try, but I think what we're looking for is the specific figure. How much did these investigations cost? I think that's the nub of the question. So I would imagine any attempt to respond must lead us into that direction.
Thank you, Chairman. I think as GCO says, we were not asked to come with these figures here. So the reason for him having to go back and look specifically for those investigation costs, because we use PwC NS for many other things. So you have to strip out and bring it here. So maybe that is a written response. I think, Chairman, if that is okay with you. And then just the second piece to it is that it is definitely not a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. We've done the investigation. Wrongdoing has been properly and technically put down. Our next step is to do what we have to do, whether you're taking people to court or you're doing something. To do that, we need another piece of cash to do it. That is the only difference. But the information is that we know where the wrongdoing is and we know who did what. And our next step is to do what needs to be done legally. And that requires cash to do it. That's the difference. So it's not a wasteful exercise. We needed to do that to know what the wrongdoing is, and technically. Thanks, Chairman.
Okay, no, that's fine. We will run into a dialogue with that, but it's fine. Right, Honorable Liz, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's great to see you all looking healthy and going strong.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Number. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, Mr. Chairman, the chair of the Donnell board, Gloria, makes quite a big thing about shareholder support, and that without it they would not continue, and I'm intrigued by that, because the shareholder actually is the South African citizen, represented by the minister, The minister is not the shareholder. The minister is the representative. And I would put it to Gloria that indeed the shareholder doesn't share the minister's support for Danel. And that such support must be looked at very cautiously when one really considers who the shareholder really or shareholders really are. With regard to that support, we heard from Benedicta earlier that in terms of the law, Danel should be in insolvency. And as it appears that the board chooses not to follow the law, is that as a result of whom you consider to be the shareholder support for ignoring the provisions of the Companies Act and the PFMA? So the nub of the question is, you've said that without the shareholder support, you wouldn't continue. So is the shareholder indicating to you that you should ignore the provisions of the Companies Act and the PFMA?
Should I answer, Chairman?
Yes, please.
I think Honorable Liz, definitely, I know that the actual shareholder is a South African citizen, but that is why, because of its size, you have what you call a shareholder representative. That is what I understand. And so when I'm talking about shareholder support, I mean shareholder representative support. And there's no other way of looking for support. That is our next line of defense and support that we're looking for. So yes, I still make that comment that a board without the support of a shareholder representative is not able to function. I repeat that. And in the absence of that, then this board would be rendered destitute. And so as board members, they have to do what they have to do. Especially mainly, this board is mainly made of serious professional people with long reputations and coming from where they come from. So I'm repeating that. We do have the support of the shareholder representative. I'm mindful of the fact that he is a representative, and I wouldn't expect the whole whatever. That's why he is a shareholder representative. And so when you say the shareholder does not share that kind of shareholder support, we will hear through him again, because that's our link to the actual shareholder, which is the South African, and it comes in many forms. We have to be formal about that and not confuse the many conversations that we're having with different people. We line our discussions with the state through that shareholder representative. The second question is the one that concerns me a lot, Honorable Liz, to say that is it that shareholder representative who's making us not follow the law, ignore PFMA, ignore Companies Act? Behind that question, there is an assumption that that is exactly what we are doing. And it is important for me to stress here, we are not ignoring PFMA. We are not ignoring the Companies Act. We are actually properly processed in terms of what we do legally with the state of Danel, that we found it in this way. We can only follow law. We can only follow the Companies Act. We can only follow the PFMA. An example of just even trying to sell some of these assets that we've got, because of PFMA, we needed to have to wait for approvals, Section 54, and all those kinds of things. And so any implication that is being left here that we're ignoring PFMA, I would be terrified if that is the impression we're leaving behind here. Absolutely not. We can't. and so is the Companies Act. We cannot not follow the Companies Act. The process, though, even the Companies Act, actually is supportive and helpful in terms of what to follow, even when a company is challenged the way that Janel is challenged, the way it is. So I would really be terrified if the Honorable List, you think that we are not following PFMA, we are not following the Companies Act, and we are doing all of that because the shareholder representative is telling us not to follow PFMA and not to follow Companies Act. That's quite a complicated conversation. I would like to make sure that we are not giving an impression here that the shareholder representative is actually encouraging us to ignore PFMA or ignore the Companies Act. If that's the impression we have left here today, I would really like it to be taken out. That is not the case. And the response I was making to Honorable Somyo is a technical one that says, have you got conditions that you have put to say, after all you've done in your life professionally, you are in this complicated entity which can damage your own reputation. What have you put in place to secure your own reputation? My response to that was that if we're all by ourselves, I'm sure a lot of board members would be out of the window because it's not difficult to just resign. It's the easiest part. But the support from the shareholder representative, which means he also understands the precarious nature of the way where Danelle finds itself. And together, we navigate through this. That is support I'm talking about. But there's nothing in there that says we must ignore PFMA, we must ignore companies law. That's a very complicated conversation. I would really like to make sure that we're not leaving this committee to believe that we're ignoring PFMA and Companies Act. No, definitely not. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It's good to hear you say that. But then what I need clarity, and I think the committee needs clarity on, is you have stated fairly emphatically that without shareholder support, the company would not continue. Why would it not continue without the shareholder support?
Honorable Liz, this is not you think too, Danelle. It is a general coexistence between any entity with its shareholder when it is in trouble. If you have a strong shareholder, you can survive. If you have a weak shareholder, you don't survive. If you have some... questions. One, do they support the turnaround plan we have in front of them? After all the major debates, they must come back and say, we support, go ahead. They must come back and say, let's both take it to National Treasury and let's strip it apart and do whatever. Shareholder support says, let's make sure DOD is on board because you are fiddling with things around the defense. That is what shareholder support means. In the absence of that, we are not in a position to be two-tracing in government. Only a shareholder representative can help us through that, because we are talking to his counterparts and all of that. And some of the responses we need, if, for example, we say, help us with the NCAA, I can't remember the one about, what is that word, William? Yes, NCAA, with the exports and so on. That requires the shareholder representative to help us navigate through that, because it talks that the company, country policy, can you sell to so-and-so, can't you sell to so-and-so, do you disband country A, do you do all of those things. This board is not able to do. You require a shareholder representative. That is what I mean by a shareholder representative. And it is the support we have that I am talking about, is we are not found wanting where we need help and where the shareholder representative is able to help. Thank you.
Thank you, Gloria. That in a sense, it complicates things even more, because Are you saying to us that there is, that despite the company being insolvent, that the provisions of the Company Act, which require certain steps to be taken in insolvency, have been taken, or have they not been taken?
Honorable Liz, for us to get to that point where we're saying we are in that kind of trouble, it must be because we've exhausted all those steps that needs to be taken by any company that is in the kind of position that we are in. And those steps are being taken. If you look at, it's not just to look at the government bailout and all that kind of thing. Internally, ourselves, even if it is once off, to look at, let's rid of some of the assets. Let's look at that surplus we have sitting with the general medical aid, which was never supposed to be there in the first place. But we are undoing now things that were done 40 years ago, trying to lay our hands on a surplus that is sitting there idle, and it should be actually back into the company's pockets. Those things are the steps that have been taken to make sure that Denel is not over the cliff. And so when we give up, when we finally say we've done this and we can't go any further, definitely this committee will know. At this point, all the steps that need to be taken to make sure we are not in that kind of spot is being taken. Legal advice properly, accounting advice properly, technically advice properly, all those steps are being taken, and yeah.
Thank you very much. Let me move on, Ms. Gemma, if I may. I've just got two other questions, really, and they should be very short answers. I don't think they need long answers. So
We're good for time.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Gemma. You know, Denel Aerostructures has been closed. The employees have been retrenched, as I understand it, and as a consequence, we've lost the high-tech manufacturing ability for Airbus 400 and so on. Can we get the assurance that all existing contracts that Denel and its subsidiaries currently have are being completed and can be completed with the existing resources, both human and other, on time and delivered as required?
Chair, if I can answer that, yes, indeed, for our release, we are doing everything in our power to complete this project as required contractually. The way in we lack resources, and I think I have mentioned this, that we are looking at various ways of insourcing some of the skill sets that we have lost. And we are looking at the industry as a whole because they have complement some way of these resources to bring back and ensure that we complete this process.
Okay, so you're saying you're looking at it. So right now, you're not in a position to complete the contract. You've still got to secure these resources.
Not all of the projects are on our list. If you look at everything in the maintenance and production, we have resources. It's mainly in the dynamics area wherein we are short of resources. And we are completing some of those. We have recalled some of the resources that we have lost. We have contracted some. And one or two projects maybe that we're still short of resources that we are currently looking at. I have to make mention of one thing, Chair. Some of these contracts are multi-year contracts. We are not talking about a contract that lasts 1 year. When we contract type of these projects, they run over the period of 5 years or 6 years or so. And so within our reach, we still believe that we got ample time to can be able to insource these people and deliver on those ones that we don't have resources, not all of them. I have to point that clearly.
Okay, thank you. And then just building on the multi-year issues, will you, Denel Aero, be able to provide the services, maintenance, and in particular upgrades required for the helicopters, Roy Falcon, Oryx helicopters? Have you got all the resources and requirements for those services, maintenance, and upgrades?
Thanks for all this. Yes, we do have the resources required. We are continuing supporting SNDF on all of the contracts that we have, both on the C-130, the Oryx, as well as the other maintenance contracts that we have. So we do have resources, and the only part of the resources that we are struggling with is still part of the liquidity. But at least for SANDF, we have navigated through that storm and ensuring that we got support from upstream investors.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What I'd like for us to please obtain from Danel, from the group as a whole, is their projected cash flow for the next 12 months, showing the source of funds. Obviously, the detail of expenditure is not required, but certainly a high-level expenditure. We don't want to expose any sensitive commercial, but the sources of revenue, I think, is critical, and that doesn't need to name the customers and contracts, but I think it can name the sectors from which the revenue is anticipated to come from. If I may, Mr. Chairman, could we have such a 12-month? I'm sure that the board and the executive, I mean, they have to have such a thing. They could probably click on their computer right now and email it to us. You can't run a corporation of this size without a projected cash flow, and probably for more than 12 months, but they should be looking at least 36 months in advance. So if we could have just the next 12 months, a very high level cash flow analysis, please. And thank you to the board chair and CEO for the answers. I appreciate them. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, colleagues. The request for all these written nitty-gritties, the deadline today is Tuesday. Next week, let's say next week, Wednesday, 12 o'clock. That gives the now just 12 hours over a week. So I think we will be good to go, particularly in light of the announcement I made earlier on, that being armed with information is also beneficial to us, and I'm sure the legal advisors will advise us correctly and representative correctly on the course of action to follow. Colleagues, you will receive those papers during the course of the day. Right. I just want to go to one thing. And because it's been pointed out in the meeting now that, of course, the financial position of Danel is precarious. Your liquidity is a challenge, and I'm being euphemistic here. And then, of course, I want to temper that with the notion of shareholder support. As things stand now in Danel's outlook, including but not limited to the turnaround strategy, is there now looking for a bailout from government? Or are there plans to secure a bailout from government?
Chair, do you want to answer that or you want me to?
Let me start, William. Thank you very much, Chairman, because that term has always confused us as to when is a bailout, when is the shareholder response to support and to keep the company floating. So yes, on our side, we mainly call it recap, right, William, I think? We hope for a recap because the hole is quite big. The revenues of Danel in the immediate, the future, will not be able to carry us through. And so between us, our own turnaround plans and our own liquidity relief plans, we do need support from the state to keep us for the next foreseeable future. Chairman, if that is then a bailout, I just want to make sure that I'm using the right language. We see it as a recap by the shareholder. But maybe William, you can add to that. I see also the DG is trying to help us, the chairman, if that's okay.
Okay. No, that's fine. I think we'll leave it to the DG, Chair. Yeah, I think we have adjusted.
Let's see what the DG has to say.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the honourable members. Chair, I think terming it a bailout would be a wrong description. Denel has requested, and we have taken up their request into the government system, as we are now busy with budget bid for various courses by the department, is to enable it to restructure such that it is able to right-size itself to the volume of work and revenues that it is expecting. So that a funding request to restructure itself and to provide it with working capital to execute the order book that they have, which is still around 10 billion rands, and it should enable the business to be in a stronger position going forward. This restructuring obviously has become necessary for the reasons that have been outlined in the presentation earlier, which have ended up with a situation where the cost base of Denel is bigger than the revenues that they are able to generate. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, fine. Call it what you call it. Potato, potato, same difference, really. If
Madamba.
Denel is not in a position to meet its obligations itself and has to put through a request through the government system, term it what you will. We will liaise with the Standing Committee on Appropriations, whom ordinarily process these things, and then we will have a look at it, because I think we are constantly being put in a very precarious position as this committee, where decisions of bailouts are taken elsewhere, and then ultimately we must deal with the outcomes and consequences of those things. And it just speaks to an urgent need to tweak the parliamentary processes. So potato, potato, Mazamban, we'll see whatever it is. I'm not going to sit here and debate semantics. But what is clear is that the financial position of Denel is a problem. And I must say that we raise all these things, Madam Chair, with the hope to draw your attention to what may ordinarily be concerns of Parliament and public concerns, and to motivate you in a direction of ensuring that we resolve all these problems. Because ultimately our outlook as this committee is that state-owned companies must make money for the state, and not the other way around, where the state has to constantly put money into these SOEs. And we expect them to be run like a business. And we are most certainly, Madam Chair, alive to the challenges, Deputy Minister, which may come with the PFMA. And of course, due to the interruptions of COVID, I think this is a discussion we would have had after we had been to SABC, that we must look at constructively what may be, challenges of the PFMA to the business agility in the respective spaces of SOEs. so that you can be able to have a business model that is able to respond with the necessary technical expertise of the various industries in which SOEs are operating in, with a view to make a business more viable and sustainable. So that is a consideration we are certainly are alive to, and I think we will continue once we return to some semblance of normality to look at those discussions with a view to help. Our outlook as a committee is to be solution oriented, but that solution orientation arises mainly after having diagnosed correctly what the problems are. And some of them largely are the slow pace of process within entities. It doesn't help. We are quite alive to that. Let me do this, colleagues, as we go to wrapping up. Let's give the SIU an opportunity to respond and react to some of the issues. And then I'll come to you, CEO, if there are any matters that you'd want to raise, Madam Chair, and then I'll go to the Deputy Minister in that order, please. So SIU, over to you.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I really feel strongly about a point being made, if I may, please.
May we proceed, Mazamba?
Mr. Chairman, I was very, very particular about asking both the Chair of the Board and the CEO about having, first of all, with the Chair of the Board, what shareholder support meant, and yet she chose not to mention the financial bailout as being part of that support. And the CEO, when I asked, and I think I actually, if we look, listen to the record, I specified funding and resource in my resources question, that all the required resources were there. The only response about resources that might not be there were like technical skills and outsourcing. Not a word about the need for funding from the taxpayer, a bailout. My concern, Mr. Chairman, and I'll leave it at that, there's no need for a response, is that I feel aggrieved by that, what I believe to have been somewhat misrepresentation. So for the record, I've made my comments, and let's leave it at that. Thank you.
All right, SIU.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning. Good morning, Chair, Honourable Members, Deputy Minister, the Chairperson of the Board, the DG, the Group CEO, colleagues. Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I understand.
Mamla, it was so good to hear from you, but it would be even better to see you. There you go.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I believe that the SIU has been invited to brief this committee on Danel investigation on the 15th of September. So for that reason, Chair, we didn't even prepare a presentation for today. However, I'm prepared to give high-level responses to the questions on some of the investigation. I do confirm, Chairperson, the comments and the statements made by both the Chairperson of Danel Board as well as the GCO in terms of cooperation between us and the institution. We did brief the Board on our investigations, and we are in constant liaison with the Office of the GCEO in terms of documents and the way forward in terms of this investigation. We also assisted in terms of the IP investigation. We assisted to the Group CE in terms of that opening of that criminal matter. And we are currently assisting in the matter. We are collaborating with SAPS with regards to the investigation. We had a number of meetings, and we continue to assist to be involved in the entire investigation. And Chair, as the SIU, with regards to one of the matters, we as the investigation team, we have also requested instructions from the HOU and the Civil Litigation Unit to brief counsel in order to interdict at least one of the companies that are currently in possession of Daniel's IP. We are interdicting the company from unlawfully using and profiting from that IP. We are also considering other aspects, Chairperson, such as the loss of business for Daniel, as well as royalties that were paid by Daniel to the Royal Council when they registered those IP instruments. So basically, that's the high level in terms of the IP. The detailed report will come in on the 15th. On the issue of test space, Chair, we've looked at the papers. Remember, Chair, there is a civil claim that was lodged by Telspace against Daniel. And we've looked at the papers from both parties. And we are confident, Chairperson, that Daniel has a very good case in that regard. And the prospects of success in the matter are very high for Daniel's case. And we are monitoring the matter. However, the SIU joined in the matter was viewed by our legals as something that should be kept at academic level. So we are currently assisting Daniel to get assistance from the Office of the State Attorney just to get the process back into the role. The special pleas that were brought by Daniel against Telspace in that matter, really, they are very good. And they've also lodged a counterclaim for the $4.6 million that was paid. And we are looking at that. We are monitoring the case. And as already alluded, Chair, our joinder in the matter is academic. On the CAMPA investigation, Chair, also at high level, CAMPA approached the Legal Practice Council and because they didn't want to release documents to the SIU. And they raised an issue of their professional privilege, and the legal practice council actually agreed with them, and that you know they do have that they've got a right to raise the professional privilege, which we then requested Daniel to waive, and the group CEO approached the board and obviously issued a letter waiving that professional privilege. We have now received the documents 2 weeks ago from CAMPA, and on analysis, Chair, we are busy analyzing those, and on analysis of some of the issues, we are confident that we do have a very strong case of fraud against the company. For fees that were claimed for services that were never rendered by the senior counsels. And we also are looking at the private matters, the private legal matters that were attended to by the same company on cases where, for instance, Mr. Manja would have been involved. Mr. Manja was the previous chairperson of the board. So those are the issues that we are looking at. This is just at a high level, Chairperson. On the issue of VR laser investigation, Chair, I think Daniel, maybe they just forgot to mention that. We have since extended the scope on request by the GCEO to include the entire Who Faced the contract, which involves about 30 other contracts. This is a contract that was between AMSCO and Daniel, and then subcontracted to other companies. And this whole investigation will include even the companies that are now litigating Daniel. So we are looking into that one, Chairperson. And in that case alone, we've already established that AMSCO has already paid Danel in excess of 7 billion rand. So, however, the delivery is still something that we are still going to establish what was delivered. Basically, that's my high-level report on the investigations from SIU Chair. Thank you.
No, I think that's suffice. It gives us the sense that work is being done. And of course, as you indicate, towards the end of this parliamentary third term, we will meet to deal with those matters far more extensively. So I think, colleagues, let's leave the SIU matters at that. And at least now we have a sense of what is going on. All right, GCO, over to you, Bob.
Yes, Chair. I just wanted to make a comment here, Chair. I'm really perturbed and at all, Chair, with the remarks that have been made by Honourable Lees with regards to misrepresentation of information. The question that was asked for me, it dealt with the issues of projects and if we are able to execute these projects. So succinctly, I gave a rundown of all the projects and their issues. And those that are relating to resources, I mentioned resources. Wherein I spoke about your RAFAC and the other projects that we are doing internally, I did mention the issue that we might be impacted by funding. So I needed to make that clear, because that funding that we are requesting at a strategic level that is now being termed bailout or whatever the name, or the potato, as you say, Chair, is not really, you know, the issue that we were talking about or what I was responding to. I was responding to projects. The issue of the funding at the strategic level, it is a strategic funding, which relates to the entire funding of DNL, not specifically for projects. So I wanted to make that clear, Chair. I have no further comments. Thank you very much.
All right. No, that is fine. Madam Chair?
Thank you, Chairman. We always look forward to being invited to this committee, to be honest, because the challenging questions is what keeps us on our feet as well. So thank you very much for that. I think just to add to William's point, though, we will have no reason to misrepresent to this committee anything, by the way. And I think Honorable Lees maybe has a different interpretation of us, but we have no reason whatsoever to misrepresent anything to this committee, because it's a frequent kind of meeting. If we misrepresent today, we are here in 3 months' time or 2 months' time, so we understand that. So I think if he feels aggrieved by what he sees as misrepresentation, I must apologize to that. I don't think we have any intention to do so. Thank you very much, Chairman. We really appreciate your invitation.
No, I don't think there's a problem. All is well. We will interrogate the information accordingly. And we will look at things. And I think, of course, we will have to be in constant communication in any case on matters as and when they happen, given the latest developments. But, of course, subject to the legal guidance that we will receive. So, Madam Chair and your board, thank you very much. CEO and the executives, thanks to you. DM, Masive Uvulose Pondwin. And then we will arrive at a particular conclusion.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and thanks to the Honourable Committee for a very extensive period, session that we've had, and I think the board has sought as far as possible to as truthfully and objectively project the situation as we know it. We do share, Honourable Chair, similar concerns as members insofar as the entity finding its fit and ultimately the entity being able to stand on its own without any reliance on the fiscus. But Chair, given some of the problems, the challenges that have visited this entity, it has become necessary that a consideration be made for some form of recap to be able to reorientate the entity towards better functionality and better results, so to speak. And to that regard, the entire government system that is beyond the shareholder representative department, including the other sister departments in the government system, there is an appreciation of the necessity for such an intervention, but it must be, of course, be well supported in terms of a plan and an ability to execute that plan. And that is where I think most of the support that the chairperson was referring to is premised from. And I think to that extent, we really commend the board for the effort they put in very difficult circumstances. And I'm sure their effort in no time, and we're hoping all of us will start bearing fruit. With that, Chair, we really would like to thank the honorable committee members for their thoroughgoing interrogation of matters. It can only make us better. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, DM. Let me, colleagues, I think we can suspend the Denel matters for today and for now until, of course, we have gotten through this legal hurdle that we are currently encountering. Thank you very much, DM, to you as well, and the ministry and the DG and the department, as well as SIU. And all our stakeholders who are present, AG, National Treasury, much appreciated. Colleagues, just two announcements as the program which was circulated indicates. Tomorrow we are dealing with the Maslonyane local municipality matter. A petition was sent to the NCOP. The NCOP subsequently referred that matter to the National Assembly, and the Speaker has made a determination that we must deal with that matter, specifically around issues of the internal and financial controls of that municipality. Documentation should have been sent, and tomorrow will be in the hands of the content advisor on that, so that we can be able to respond to the Speaker and then thresh out a program of action on how we're going to deal with that matter of Maslonyane, which will include an oversight visit to that part of the country. So there's that matter which requires our attention. And then in the evening, tomorrow, we will be dealing with the Department of Higher Education, Science and Innovation, specifically around NSFAS and the National Skills Fund, following the directives which flowed out of our meeting in May, including but not limited to the forensic investigations and so on and so forth. So that will be tomorrow at 6:30, so a long day for us. 9:30 tomorrow morning, Maslonyane matches. Tomorrow evening, 6:30 to 9:00, I would imagine, we'll be dealing with higher education, science and innovation. So colleagues, I would like to thank you very much for that. And Sister Ibutben, please make sure all documentation reaches members. That is required for tomorrow. I know it's been sent, but a follow-up will be very, very good. So I think on that note, let us bring the meeting to an end with the proviso that Denel and DPE, we will be in touch through legal representatives or otherwise, and then we will take these matters forward after having concluded all that is before us. But ultimately, the end goal is for a Denel that is able to meet its mandate and for it to be able to generate income and revenue without dependence or reliance on the state. The economic reality of the country is not one which inspires confidence. And so we need not be throwing financial solutions to non-financial problems. Some of these issues require difficult decisions internally insofar as restructuring, reprioritization and refocusing entities to be able to meet short-term, medium-term and long-term obligations and commitments and the mandate. It's solely not just a financial matter. And the public purse is overstretched to the point that certain obligations, if we are not careful of the state, will not be met. And so we are fully reliant on the board and the executive to step up to the plate with the renewed vigor and energy in the patriotic interest of this country and to restore Danel to its former glory. It cannot continue existing as a shadow of its former self. And so we are committed to offering the support where is needed, but also at the same time, we will exert the necessary pressure from a parliamentary oversight and accountability perspective to make sure that things happen. So either we all shape up or we all shape out. And that cannot be far more expressed to Danel than at any other time than it is now. So I hope that the seriousness of the matter spurs all of us into action. So colleagues, thank you very much for your attendance this morning. The meeting stands adjourned.